Good morning, friends. You are indeed very welcome. Could not start off this morning without acknowledging a great mayor, probably the most colourful mayor that New York had ever seen and experienced. You didn't have to like Mayor Ed Koch's politics. You didn't have to agree with what he was saying at many times, but you didn't have to look for him. You know, his famous saying and his appearances everywhere, even on the streets of New York. He, for his 12 years, Mayor Ed Koch would say, "How am I doing?" His voice silenced yesterday morning. And from on a personal note, we're really going to miss him. He's been out of office for 23 years. And of those years, he only missed our programs, our St. Patrick's Day programs, a total of 3 times. And one of those was when he went up to Albany for the swearing in of David Paterson after Elliot Spitzer was fired out for reasons we won't go into, but swearing in was on St. Patrick's Day. And the following week, not a year go by, Ed Koch came into the program and he says, "I should have come here." We'll miss him. We love him. And he leaves us a great legacy. With our audience and our listeners, the significance and indeed the great friendship and loyalty of Mayor Ed Koch, who passed away yesterday morning, for 20 of the last 23 years. He has been, as a matter of fact, he's been the first guest coming through the door. And we're going to miss him this year in particular. Your own views with respect to Mayor Ed Koch?
Well, as so much has been written and said about him, he was a really remarkable human being to begin with, and certainly at the time that the city needed a lift there in the 1977 going into 78, which was really, I remember very vividly because I was in the state legislature at the time, the fiscal crisis on the city and the state level, the doomsday sense of, I think it's fair to say in retrospect, depression that really the city felt and residents felt, and he came in there with a rather remarkable personality and disposition, very positive. He had, of course, as has been said a million times, a great sense of humor. He craved, he was not hesitant about showing the fact that he loved attention, he craved attention, and very frankly, he did something that not many public officials are able to do, especially as long after they leave office as he did, and that is to remain relevant. And he remained as a relevant public figure. Certainly as time goes on, maybe some of the warts of his administration tend to fade away, but he, a beloved, remarkable, a fun person. I think very much, and you and I have commented several times after we've done our St. Patrick's shows, that The mayor is a fixture, and he and his very, very special dear friend Jim Gill would arrive. Each of them, they look like Brick and Brack with their white wool Irish sweaters that they would wear. Mayor was very proud of it. One of the things that he had a tremendous ability to do, he was very proud of his religion and being Jewish, and as a matter of fact, I had seen in the paper today that there's a very strong statement about my mother was Jewish, my father was Jewish, I am Jewish. Very, very strong affiliation, and at the same time, he had great support among many different religions, and certainly among them, Catholic religion. He was, as we will recall, extraordinarily close personally. Talk about somewhat the odd couple.
Yeah.
Cardinal O'Connor and Mayor Koch were great friends. He used to use that expression because he spent an awful lot of time in St. Patrick's and used to refer to himself as the Jew in the front pew. And so you talk about living a life and making an impact and touching people's lives and remaining an entertaining person. I think as somebody, I thought one of the commentators made reference to the fact, no matter how many times, but when you think of Ed Koch, it somehow brings a smile to your face, and I think that's very true. He had a remarkable style about him, and he certainly served the city well, and he'll be remembered, as is being said throughout, as really genuinely one of the great mayors in the long history of the city.
Right. Cardinal Dolan has also said in paying tribute to the memory of Mayor Ed Koch that his seat in the front pew was never replaced and couldn't be. He had his spotlight seat for midnight mass.
Yes.
And also, he had never missed the Al Smith dinner, the largest fundraising dinner for St. Patrick's Cathedral and for the Archdiocese of New York. And Cardinal Dolan pointed out that whether it was the midnight mass or the Al Smith fundraising dinner, he said the loudest applause never went to anybody other than Mayor Ed Koch. And he said he had no problem reminding me of that.
Well, that's very true. And I was always also amused, and I think that Mayor Bloomberg hit it on the head when he talked about the various things that he uplifted the city and so forth.
Right.
And he said something to the effect, and he whacked people when he felt they needed it. And he hesitated and said something like, and Ed Koch enjoyed that. And that's true. He was not hesitant if somebody needed a kick in the butt to get going or change a path.
Absolutely.
He was not hesitant in doing it. He was really a genuinely larger-than-life person, I think.
John, my guest is John Deary, co-host of the program, a lawyer, and who runs and operates the law offices of John Deary. But I just wanted to, to say there as well, is he didn't feel lifelong commitment. For instance, he campaigned for and voted for our president, Barack Obama. He turned on him, and by virtue of his strong commitment to Israel, and in fact, when he wasn't getting any attention from Barack Obama, I think you will remember that he sent a very strong message by virtue of sending him, as a matter of fact, just openly saying President Obama better get his act together, or he would run you know, as somebody, or he'd endorse somebody to run against him. And in fact, in Queens here, we saw that he had a tremendous influence and a very strong message sent to the president. Pay attention to Israel or, you know, we'll do you a lot of damage.
Well, you know, there is no doubt, I think, objectively speaking, that in the years after the mayor left office in 1989, at that point coming forward, he really, his politics became significantly more middle of the road and even to the right.
Right.
I mean, he endorsed Republican, endorsed Mayor Berg when he ran as a Republican. He
right.
endorsed and was a very close friend of Al D'Amato's,
right.
of George Pataki. So the notion, and then it was a powerful one because people would say, well, you know, here's the former Democratic mayor of the city of New York, and he's not sticking with the Democrats. He's busting a Republican.
Right.
And that was a very, that truly was a very, very powerful message. And he certainly felt particularly strongly about any issue, relative, directly or otherwise, on
yeah.
Israel, and good for him, he has a right to.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was always amazed at, and as Adrian, you and I commented, as we said privately many times, but he had that incident when he was visited Ireland, and he had made some comments that were not received well by the Irish community here, and I think you, Adrian, every year would ask him, by the way, Mayor, do you remember, and I think it was in the late
80s. No, excuse me, I didn't have to ask him. I didn't have to ask him at all.
Well, maybe it was a reminder, but that's all you had to. And then, if you needed to go to the gents' room, it was a good time to go, because he was off and running for about 12 minutes.
Easy.
Very interesting that you asked me that. And bingo, he used the same words and the same story that he told.
I know.
I'll tell you that story. He literally loved those kinds of things and those incidences and reflecting on them and reminiscing
right.
about it. Yeah, he really loved
and we
that
will
stuff.
Also remember that when he was supporting Rudy Giuliani much later on,
yes, he
wrote indeed a book on Rudy Giuliani saying Rudy Giuliani, nasty men. But when he, when David Dinkins was running the city, I think it every day it aggravated Mayor Koch. But I do remember him coming in to our office unannounced with Rudy Giuliani and sitting him down and say, I want you to work for him. I want you to help elect him. And if you remember, in the Irish community, Rudy Giuliani was a huge thorn in the side of the Irish-American community in particular, because he was delighted to prosecute any of those who were involved in the struggle in Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So after Rudy Giuliani, later to become mayor, you know, I met Koch and said, you know, it creates a problem for me, because in our community people would expect that I would kill him, not be out to the forefront working for him. He says, first you kill him, then you help him. And I said, why? Why would I help him? He said, he might win.
He said what?
He might win.
Okay. Well.
And so I did. I took my lumps for that one, but he did win, and he kept, Rudy Giuliani kept in place some of the great traditions that no mayor has changed since. Not the least of which was correcting in the city universities the the system that was in place that says if you don't have a green card, you're not going to, you shouldn't even be here in the first place. He switched that one. He also, as you know very well, he was the one who said to the police department, the fact of the matter was that there were so many undocumented in the city at that time that they couldn't open bank accounts. Their bank was the local pub, restaurant. And there were, you know, a lot of crime at that time in New York, and we saw many instances, not only of construction workers, but also of hard-working girls who were working in restaurants or whatever, and as housekeepers and nannies. And Edcott sent the word through the police department to take care and make sure that all of those would be in a very safe environment. He said, it's not our job to go after people, and he said, and the federal government, with respect to their checking their status, that's not our job. He said, let them do it, and because we are, you know, we take care of our own people. We don't care. Yep. Imagine just in a couple of those areas there, he was a good listener, and of course he had a good Irish crowd around him, you know, Peter Powers, Paul Crotty, who's now a federal judge, you know, those who, Diane Coffey, who, of course, who was, she was his right hand and continued on long after he was mayor, but he, and obviously Jim Gill, who will be the main speaker at his memorial service in Temple Emmanuel on Monday.
Yeah.
But
well.
He always made a beeline for your office, John, when he would come in, and he'd sit there. He was quite fine, and we would explain year after year, you know, that we had to have. Our program scheduled. We had an opening. Yeah, fine. And probably one of our best photographs of Ed Koch in our studios and in your law office is one with Ed Koch being serenaded by Sister Mary Beata Geraghty singing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, he always gave me the impression that he looked very much forward on St. Patrick's Day to being on the show and to, you know, give his reaction to the crowd. And the crowd was wonderful, and they loved me, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't hesitant to tell you. But he just loved donning that the white wool sweater and,
right.
And the cap that he had, and... you know, he would have gone up and down Fifth Avenue with those crowds about a dozen times if his legs would carry him.
And you will remember
he loved the crowd. Yeah. He loved the crowd, and he loved the love that came back from the crowd to him.
Absolutely,
he reveled in it.
And he, you know, the white Clada sweater, the made popular indeed by the Clancy brothers.
Yes.
Would get a darker shade every year, and by the time he was finished with it, you'd hardly be able to...
That's very true. As a matter of fact, I think that this last year, I may have commented that it looked like it probably could go to the local Greenwich Village cleaners before the next wearing, because he wore it, it probably... sat in his dresser somewhere, and he grabbed it on the 17th, and that was it.
Absolutely.
There was no cleaning. There was too much real class DNA, Irish DNA in it.
Yeah. But, one of the things we'll also remember when he did come back from Ireland, he said, I screwed up, and I he says, "You're going to take me to Irish events." He said, "I don't want the safe ones. You bring me to, I have to tell them that I screwed up." And we did. And in many of the concerts and dinners and various places, we went in with the Irish, where he would actually have been booed walking into. He says, "I understand. If yeah. If you did to me what I did to you, I'd boo me too."
Yeah. No. He was very effective at disarming a crowd. He really was. I remember one of the things that he did was remarkable. He would have, I think it's twice a month, a community planning meeting, and he'd have generally several hundred people at the meeting, and this one would be standing up to, "Why we need more money for education, and that one for the veterans, and this one for the housing, and that one for something else." And then all of a sudden he'd stand up at the end. "Wait a second, let me see if I understand this. You want more housing, you want more education, you want more, you know, it just depends," this was his great line, "on whose ox is being gored," because he was talking of cutbacks during the time.
Yeah.
But he was a master, and having had some political experience and dealing with community meetings, I could always appreciate it. Tremendous ability to disarm, relate to the people, not necessarily give anything away, but make people feel good that they had a, "I told Kotchoff." He loved it. He just loved it. And not too many people in public office can handle that kind of a thing. But
I know.
He was great.
We'll definitely miss him.
And by the way, it would not be unfair or untrue to say that he had great, great, great personal affection for you. He really did. And you bailed him out. There was a good reason that he did, but he had great affection for you, Adrian. And it showed every time he came up or saw you.
We'll miss him this year, John, for sure.
Yeah, we will. Yes,
Thank you, John Deary. Friends, to contact John Deary. And his law office is located, several law offices, but at 515 Madison Avenue in New York City, where you also find Irish Radio. Our time is coming to an end. We will end the program as we started the program with the late, it's very hard, the lay sister Mary Beata's version of New York, New York, because that's how we will indeed remember both of them for a long time, and their live performances in our studio for the St. Patrick's Day show. I also want to let you know that, first of all, thanks to all our guests, and in particular, thanks to you for listening, friends, to Irish Radio Network, the Flannelly Show, live from New York, any time, 24/7, any nook and cranny in the world, log on to www.irishradio.com. So long, God bless, thank you for listening.